Morning once again, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday morning worship. You might notice things are a little bit different today. Again, once a quarter, hopefully you remember that we celebrate what we call Salah Sunday, which is a bit of a different kind of service if you haven't been with us before. It kind of tries to break us out of our routine a little bit. Because I don't know about you, but if I keep doing something over and over again, even if it's week after week, it's easy for me to get really comfortable and kind of forget why we're doing what we're doing. So Salah comes from a Hebrew word that's found in the Psalms, and it's equivalent to, you know, if you have music sheets, the rest and the pauses in the music. And the purpose of it is to allow for a time of contemplation or reflection on the words that's just been or the songs that we've just sung. So today acts as a bit of a rest and a pause for us from our normal worship routines. It allows us to more, hopefully intentionally, contemplate on the Word of God and to worship in music together. Now, before we start, actually, I'm just going to go through a few announcements. One of the first thing that you'll realize in the end is there's a lot of changes that's going to happen because we were going to do a dedication for Ollie and Hudson, but unfortunately they've got fevers, so they won't be able to join us in person. And we were going to have Christine from NCEA, the Normanhurst Christian Education Association, come join us as well. But she's fallen sick overnight as well. So I'm glad you all made it, but there will be some changes in the end as well. Some of the things in your bulletins is that 3 p.m. today we'll be having their final service at 3. Their time is coming to rejoin at 11 a.m. So if you'd like, come join us to celebrate what God has done at 3 p.m. over the years. And I believe some of us are going to be performing some songs as well. And the second thing I want to point out is that church anniversary service is going to be next week. So don't come here. There will be no one here. It's going to be at Penn Hills High School at 10 a.m. There will be lunch and activities afterwards. So please stick around. Get to know people around you and the other congregations as well. I believe there is a sign-up sheet for sport and activities afterwards. So, where is that sheet, Winona?
It'll be posted on the back wall.
Ah, okay. Which back wall?
Like, the back wall.
Oh, okay. There is a sheet at the back if you want to sign up for. There is soccer as well, I believe. Yeah. So, stick around and watch people play or play yourself as well. The rest of the bulletin announcements I'll leave you to read in your own time. But as we start, I'm going to ask Winona to come up and read from Psalm 89 to just kind of help us prepare our hearts for worship. Thanks, Winona.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a good Sunday. As Nathan said, it'll be great for us to reflect on what the Bible says about God and prepare our hearts for worship. So today's reading will come from Psalms 89, verses 5 to 8. And it says, "The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you."
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you alone are worthy of our daily devotion. Nothing in heaven or on earth is comparable to who you are. We come before you today in humble worship of you, to declare the praises of you who are mighty and faithful. By your word, Lord, all creation has come into being, and by your will all things are sustained and we ourselves have life. By your faithfulness, your promises stand true from generations to generations. Lord, we ask that you open our eyes today so that we may see you clearly in the words that we read. We ask that you open our hearts so that we will not resist your spirit as we worship you. In all these things we pray, in your Son Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, in the last few weeks, I've been wondering a lot on a question of why is it that we gather together as a church? What is it that brings us together week in, week out to do the same thing again and again on such an early Sunday morning? Is it because hopefully we enjoy each other's company? It's nice to have some sense of social community. Is it because we feel like we need to because we're Christians? Or is it because we've just done this all the time? Now, Peter, in his letter, says that, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God, and once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So Peter is writing to them as a group and saying, you together are God's special possession. You are a people who has called out so that we may praise his name. That is, so that we can come together to worship him, to give thanks to him, to magnify his glory and declare his greatness together. You know that feeling when you get really excited about something? It may be a restaurant that you enjoyed, or a sports team you follow, or like a book or a movie that you really captivated you. You can't help but to go and share that joy with someone else. I believe the complete enjoyment of something is only fully satisfied when it is shared with someone else. And that's what we do together each week. We come together in praise to share in this joy of our Lord Jesus Christ together, to worship him, not in our own independent lives, but together as his people, as a people who he has called us out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Take a moment now, just where you are at your seats, just close your eyes to remind yourself, why are you here today? What has brought you back? But today we're here to worship him because he is worthy of all of our worship. Say a quick prayer to God and to thank him for this opportunity. And when you're ready, why don't you stand and you can join us in singing Ancient of Days.
Still one king.
last week we sang a song called The Desert Song. It's actually a really good reminder for us as a people. But I don't know how you may be feeling today. Maybe you're going through your own spiritual desert of some sort. Maybe there are some challenges in your life and where you're wondering, where is God? Maybe in the back of your mind today there is some pain, some loss, or even some brokenness within you. The song reminds us that despite what we may be feeling or going through in our lives, He is still the living God. He is still in control, and He still has a plan that is good for all those who love Him. And we continue to have every reason to come together to worship Him. Let's sing. There's a song. Grab a seat. As we've been saying, if you've just recently joined us, that we come together to share in this common worship of our Lord Jesus together. As a people, we share in the same faith and the same common belief. A faith, in fact, that's shared all around the world today by millions, if not billions, of Christians around the world. A belief that has essentially been the same for thousands and thousands of years. I don't know if you have seen this before. It's called the Apostles' Creed. It wasn't written by the apostles, but it actually outlines the apostles' belief by the early churches. It's foundational for Christianity worldwide and also for ourselves as a church. Now, I want you to take a moment to read through this for yourself and see what you think. And whether you truly can declare this faith, this Apostles' Creed, as your faith and your belief. Take a moment in your seat just to read through this. One of the things that we can't do by ourselves is to hear one another's voice in our walk with God. We need to come together so that when we sing and when we speak, we are affirming and hearing the truth out of other people's mouths. If you believe this Apostles' Creed in your heart, I'm going to ask you to read it out loud with me and just declare as a people what it is that we believe as a church, as followers of Christ. There's no pressure. If it is too much, no one's going to be like, oh, you're not reading. But yeah, only if you truly believe in this. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by his Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We're going to keep singing a song called This I Believe by Hillsong. And it outlines what it is we've just read as well.
That we will rise again, for I believe in the name. eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again.
As we keep thinking about us gathering together, I'm going to invite Phoebe to come up to give us our next Bible reading.
This reading comes from Romans 3, 10 to 18. It says, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes."
See, while on one hand we come together to worship God for who he is, we weirdly also come together because of us as sinners. Now, I don't know if you think that's, you know, I think it's a bit weird that, you know, we get together not because we are somehow good or perfect or, you know, acceptable people, but before God that we are sinners. So Paul says that whether you're a Christian or not today, we know that we are not perfect. We know that we have wronged others around us in the past. And the Bible tells us that we have wronged God by turning away from him. We come together in worship of God each week, not because we are good or worthy in some way, but precisely because we are not. We are brought together because of our neediness of him, our need to repent and to turn to him. We come together because of our need for forgiveness. We're going to have a time of individual confession where you get a chance to just come before God and to lay at his feet the things that you have wronged other people. All we're going to do is an old Quaker exercise called centering down. There we go. So the aim of this exercise is just to be still and to quieten down our hearts, to recognize the sins in our lives and to ask Jesus forgiveness. So just sit back if you found yourself slouching a little bit and just close your eyes for a moment. And place both your palms down on your laps as a sign of identifying your sins before God. With your palms down, spend a minute or so to ask God to help you to acknowledge the sins in your life, whether it's once off, whether it's a persistent sin in your life. Confess before him and say sorry to him. When you're ready, just turn your palms upwards as a sign of asking and receiving his forgiveness. Ask him to help you turn away from those sins and to thank him for his gracious love and his mercy. And know that he has forgiven you. Lord Jesus, we are sorry for the sins that we have committed against you and against other people. We're sorry for the times we ignored your Spirit and your Word. Lord, we ask that you'll rebuke us when we fail to heed your will to live as your people. Reveal to us, Lord, where and when we are being tempted away to follow the ways of this world instead of following you. Help us, Lord, to repent of our sins, to leave them behind, that we may live a life that is worthy of the calling that we have received in you. Amen. As we confess our sins to Jesus, why don't you join me in standing as we sing Jesus Paid It All.
Thank you.
Jesus paid it all. To him my own sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our next reading is from Romans chapter 3, verse 23 to 26. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus.
So as Paul continued from the passages before, he goes on to say that we're not just left sinners either. While yes, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we are also freely justified by his grace. We have been redeemed into righteousness with him. The scripture tells us the reality of our sinful state, but it doesn't leave us condemned or hopeless. Rather, it leads us into forgiveness and reconciliation with God. When we come together, yes, we gather as sinners, but we have reasons to continue coming together, because we are together redeemed. We keep coming together because we have Christ, who is our hope in life and death. Let's sing.
Yeah.
Jesus, we thank you that by your grace and your mercy, we have hope in life and even in death. We thank you that through your sacrifice, we have the forgiveness of our sins and redemption into life eternal. Lord, let sin have no hold over us. Let your grace be the foundation of our hope, and let your kingdom and eternity be our goal. Amen. Let's grab a seat. I'm going to invite MJ up to give us our next Bible reading.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians that as a people, yes, we are reconciled to God, but we also share in his ministry of reconciliation. Again, take a moment to consider how incredible that is. Not only are we ourselves given the opportunity to be saved, but God gives us the opportunity to be part of his saving works. Just as we have seen in Exodus, God speaking through Moses to his people, God makes his appeal to the world through his church. That we together come as God's ambassadors, like his little people going out into the world, bearing his name, bringing with us his message of grace and forgiveness of sins. Not only are we thinking about our own worship, our own sinfulness, and our own redemption, we come together to share a common purpose, to bring his good news to all those who need it. Now, what we're going to do now is the ushers are going to come around and hand you a slip of paper. And on that slip of paper, hopefully you have a pen as well, it says, I am Jesus' ambassador too. And on that slip, there is a blank in there. And I want you to just take a prayerful moment to think, who has God called you to be his ambassador to in this world? It could be a friend or a family member who don't yet know Jesus, a colleague that sits next to you every day, a neighbor that, you know, you try not to talk too much to, maybe. When you have that person in your mind, write it down. To tell yourself that I am Jesus' ambassador to this person. When you've written that person's name down, just commit a moment to pray for that person, for yourself, that God will give you the courage and the wisdom necessary to bring God's message, His good news, to them. With that slip of paper in your hand, that name written down, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you'll help us to be your ambassador to the nations, to those around us each day. We commit each and every one of the names that has been written down today on these slips of ours into your hands. We ask that you will work powerfully through us, that your Spirit may convict these people of your good news. That in your timing, Lord, that you'll give us good conversations, our courage needed to share your news with them. Father, we know you are able to do greater things than we can imagine. Let us not doubt your power. Let us not doubt that you are able to save lives and change hearts as you have done each of our own. Lord, we pray that you'll use us in each of these persons' life to save and to bring from death into eternity. Amen. Now, what I want you to do now is, with that slip of paper, to put it in your wallet as a reminder, or if you don't carry a wallet, maybe your phone cases, the back of it. Or actually, I don't know. So a lot of your phone cases are colored, so it may disappear. Put it somewhere that you carry around with you each day. Just as a reminder, as you open your wallet, as you take out your phone, that you're indeed God's ambassador to that person. Now, we were going to do an interview with Christine from NCEA, but unfortunately, she's fallen ill overnight.